The reading will be found in Mark chapter 4 and will be found on page 1006 in the Church Bible. And we'll be starting at verse 26. Mark chapter 4, verse 26. Jesus also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces corn, first the stalk, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. As soon as the corn is ripe, he puts a sickle to it, because the harvest has come." Again he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like, or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Francis. So as Dave said earlier, we're starting a new series on the parables. And this morning, the parables come from Mark chapter 4. And I am going to be hopping around a bit in Mark chapter 4. So if you haven't got a Bible with you and you would like to go and get one now, do please feel free. Or if you want to get your tablet out and have a look at it on there, that would be just fine too. Now, you may well be familiar with what a parable is. I'm going to give you four definitions, and you can decide just in your head which answer you think is true. Number one, a parable is a way of sharing a profound truth in the form of a relatable story that is easy to understand. Number two, a parable tells us something important about God's kingdom and highlights how different God's kingdom is from the world in which we live. Three, a parable was a story that was sometimes explained to the disciples, but not to the wider crowd listening. Or number four, a parable is a story of a simple everyday event which illustrates a deeper lesson for us. Well, one, two, three, or four? Whichever answer you went for, you are right. Parables were really important stories that Jesus told, and he based these stories on common events for his first century listeners. Subjects like lost money, shepherds and sheep, cruel debt collectors. And those stories could then be compared with something important about God and his kingdom, about his rule and his authority. And sometimes Jesus would then explain the parable quietly to his disciples. When we hear a parable, there's always something for us to respond to and learn about. As many of you know, I'm a languages teacher, and I always love an opportunity to have a look at an interesting sounding word. So the word parable comes from the Greek, and it comes from two words, bola, which means throwing, and para, which means alongside. So that backs up the idea about a truth about God and his kingdom, having a simple story thrown alongside it to help us compare and understand it. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at different parables. I wonder if I was given this parable because I like gardening. However, I must make a huge confession that I have been a dismal failure at growing plants from seed, mainly because of my lack of care for them. I have brought a photo to show you, actually. So, these are some tomato seeds that I grew, And they were such a dismal failure that the dog has actually fallen asleep in them, clearly knowing they were not to be cherished. I have recently been given a bag of seeds from a lovely garden, and after this disclosure, I'm hoping that the seeds behave rather like the seeds in our parable. So without further ado, let's turn now to these two curious stories about seeds. And as we do so, I'd like to consider 4 points from that little quiz. What's the story that the listeners would have found so relatable? What does the story tell us about God's kingdom? What does Jesus say about people who hear the parables? And what is the hidden lesson for us? So, what is the story? Well, you'll have noticed today that this passage has two parables, not just one. And both are taken from the world of agriculture. Now, in the school where I work, I also run a gardening club, and it can be quite surprising just how many children don't know that potatoes and carrots actually grow in the soil, and then they're not growing in the leaves of a plant. In the urban world where we live, it's easy to forget that farming and growing crops was a way of life for the majority of people to whom Jesus spoke. These parables are found in chapter 4 of the Gospel of Mark. And in this chapter, there are 4 parables. Firstly, there's the well-known story of the sower, which you may be familiar with, where the sower sows seed in different places. So some of the seed he throws, the birds come and eat it up. Some of the seed falls on rocks and doesn't grow properly. Some of it grows and then the thorns choke it. And then finally, some seed does grow and it produces a magnificent harvest. The second parable in chapter 4 is about a light on a lampstand. So Jesus tells us, don't light a lamp and then hide it away. Instead, put it on a stand. And then we reach today's reading, the parable of the growing seed and finally that of the mustard seed. So although 3 of these 4 parables follow the theme of seeds and of growing, they each draw out different points. Now, this parable of the growing seed only occurs in the book of Mark, and it's unique that it's the only parable in the book of Mark that doesn't appear anywhere else. It's about a sower who sows some seed on the ground, an inauspicious start, perhaps just sowing some seed. And then the sower goes about his daily routine, day and night, sleeping and rising, and the seed in the earth starts growing. So, first of all, just a little shoot, and then a stalk, and then the seed head, and finally the grain on the stem. How this seed grows is quite a mystery, really. The seed has life of its own. So where does that life come from? Well, the key phrase here is that the farmer knows not how. Some translations use the phrase by itself, and the word in Greek is automate, from which we take the word automatic or automatically. Because of the power held inside these small dry seeds, plants grow which can crack rocks and feed populations. And when the grain is ready, the sower comes and harvests it. The second story in our reading today appears in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke, as well as here in Mark. And it's again about a seed, this time a really tiny mustard seed, about 1 millimeter in size. Not the smallest of seeds ever, but a close contender. Got a picture of that as well? There they are. Yet these tiny seeds, they grow to become huge shrubs with branches that are so strong that the birds come and shelter in them. So this bush here is a black mustard, which is what those seeds were. It's an invasive plant. It has close branches and it eventually spreads across a large area and it provides an ecosystem to many birds and insects and rodents. So there's a massive contrast in this parable between the small beginnings of the tiny seed and the sizable shrub that it becomes. So we've had a look at the stories that have had such familiar backdrops. Now let's look at the second point. What do the stories tell us about God's kingdom? So both of these parables overtly say that they are about the kingdom of God. But what does the kingdom of God actually mean? Well, when we talk about kingdoms here on earth, we think of countries and realms that are ruled over by kings and queens. However, when we hear about God's kingdom, it's perhaps more helpful to think of God's rule, The kingdom of God is the rule of the eternal sovereign God over the universe. The kingdom of God is his rule and his authority on earth in the person of Jesus. The kingdom of God is his spiritual rule in the hearts and lives of those who gladly submit to his authority. In both parables, Jesus addresses expectations about God's kingdom that were held by people at the time. Many people thought God's kingdom was the land of Israel, and they were waiting for this new Jewish king to come along who would look strong and powerful and throw out the occupiers. But the expectation was that Jesus would come as a mighty warrior, but he comes instead as a vulnerable baby. Other things didn't fit in with the idea of Jesus as king. A king will be expected to choose the brightest and the best to be his disciples, but instead he chooses ordinary people, fishermen, even a tax collector, to form the small group around him. We would expect him to compare the kingdom of God to a majestic tree like an oak or maybe a cedar of Lebanon, but instead he compares it to a mustard seed and a large bush. The kingdom of God is looking nothing like a worldly kingdom. So what does the first parable tell us about God's kingdom? Well, we learn that it isn't dependent on what we do. The sower sows the seeds and then goes about his daily business. He then returns to harvest the crop. This would have been shocking news to those who listened to the rabbis' preachings. The rabbis taught that the kingdom of God would only arrive when the people obeyed the law completely. God's kingdom wouldn't come while there were still people not following the Jewish laws. Hearing this parable would have been a strange experience for the disciples, because looking around, they would have still seen evil people unchecked, the poor and oppressed, still poor and oppressed. And yet, at the same time, they would have seen something different. They would have seen God's kingdom spreading. They would see a power in this person of Jesus, healing the sick, living life alongside the outcasts, breaking the hold of evil forces, and bringing God's love and forgiveness into a broken world. I said earlier how the seeds grow by themselves, and the farmer doesn't know quite how it happens. The seeds come to fruition in a largely mysterious process, and yet the important thing here is maybe not so much the mystery, but the dependability that God does this. Just as we can count on the earth to produce great plants from small seeds, so we can also count on God to bring about a big kingdom from small acts of sowing. Hearing the parable of the first sower at the very beginning of the chapter, perhaps some listeners may have found it discouraging. If the condition of the ground was so important, what chance did they have of succeeding when sowing their seeds? But here, Jesus reminds us that there's another factor at work. The hidden power at work for new life and growth, which is nothing to do with human intervention. After thinking about the importance of the soil in the parable of the sower, this one is a timely reminder that we are not the only ones at work when we sow God's word. God's hidden energy is unseen below the surface as the gospel is preached. So what do we see of God's kingdom in the second parable? Well, the second adds another piece of understanding about what the kingdom of God was like. The disciples were often looking out for signs of the Messiah's kingdom, but its small beginnings and slow yet persistent growth may have been beyond the limits of the disciples' patience and understanding. We learn from the parable of the mustard seed that the kingdom will grow generously and abundantly, but not in a showy and grandiose way. The popular expectation of the kingdom arriving in a massive event like a battle or a war is quashed by this parable, when something which seems insignificant grows steadily to become significant. The kingdom of God sometimes might not look like much, but it will overtake all earthly kingdoms. So we've looked at the stories and we've looked at what we see about God's kingdom. Now we're going to think about what Jesus says about people who hear the parables. In verse 33 and 34, it says, "With many such parables, he," that's Jesus, "spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. Without a parable, he didn't speak to them, but privately to his disciples, he explained everything." Mark refers to the people who heard the disciples as divided in two. So firstly, there were the disciples who had the parables explained to them, or in Greek it actually says, had the parables untied, which I think is a really lovely word. And then there were the crowds who received the parable with no explanation. On a first reading, this can seem a bit unfair. After all, why should the disciples have had special treatment to understand what Jesus is saying? Were those on the outside left out from understanding what Jesus was talking about? More explanation as to what this means actually comes earlier in the chapter, in verses 11 and 12, when Jesus tells the disciples, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing, but never perceiving, and ever hearing, but never understanding." Jesus was actually quoting here from the book of Isaiah, where God uses those same words to talk to the prophet Isaiah about the hard-hearted Israelites. God used those words to warn Isaiah how the Israelites would respond when they heard Isaiah's message. So there were two kinds of people who heard these parables. And parables were the perfect way for Jesus to communicate, because they either reveal or conceal the message depending on the state of the person's heart. They reveal the truth to those who are open for it and ready to hear it, but they conceal it from those who aren't ready to hear it yet. So we've looked at the story, we've looked at what we see about God's kingdom, and we've thought about the two groups of people who heard the parables. So now we're coming into land with the final question. What is the deep lesson for us? So going back to that little quiz of the beginning, when I asked you to choose the definitions of the parables, it doesn't matter if you were right. It didn't matter even if you knew that all of the definitions were correct. What does matter is that every time we hear a parable, we respond to it. And how can we respond today? Maybe you've heard or read something in God's word this morning that has struck a chord with you. I'd like to leave you with a couple of thoughts. The kingdom of God is like the slow but steady growth of the seeds. We can preach and invite and talk to others around us, but the results sometimes feel very ordinary. Maybe a conversation with a neighbour or a work colleague. Maybe a family comes along to a morning service. Children head out to their groups week in, week out. Someone quietly takes a step to be baptised or confirmed. A couple come to be married in church. Home groups make their way through a Bible study. A donation is sent to support Christian work in another part of the world. Sometimes it seems not to amount to very much of anything. However, the seed is growing. God is present. Every time we plant and sow the seeds of God's word while we live our day-to-day lives, the kingdom of God grows and flourishes, even though we don't know quite how. This is such an encouraging teaching for us, and a consoling teaching for persecuted Christians, or those who live in a hostile environment, or whose numbers are diminishing. Hearing the message of the parables is not a neutral affair. Hearing it puts us under obligation for us to make up our minds about Jesus. Do we want to be in his kingdom? Because if we're not in it, then we're outside it. When Jesus speaks in parables, we don't always understand all of what we hear. But understanding of the word of God comes as we respond to what we hear. We then receive more understanding, which opens up more possibilities to hearing and acting. The understanding's like a long roll of carpet which slowly unrolls as we step along it and our faith grows. Jesus is in control, and we are all invited to follow him in faith, one step at a time, as the truth is revealed to all those who are open to hear. Let us pray. Almighty God, thank you for your word and the challenges and encouragement that it brings. We long to see your kingdom grow and flourish. Please help us to play our part with hearts which listen to respond and respond to your word. Show us where to sow seeds as we go about our day-to-day lives, and remind us always to trust you for the harvest that they will bring for your kingdom. Amen.